First Chronicles chapter 4. The message tonight is exceptional people of God. Exceptional people of God. I want to read three scriptures. And consider them all. First Chronicles 4, verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it be not to my sorrow. And God granted him that which he requested. Now, Acts 17. Verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, when they were come thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, also of the Greek women of honorable estate, and of men, not a few. And Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had witness borne to him that he was righteous, God bearing witness in respect of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for these scriptures that we've read. How remarkable that things that happened so long ago are so pertinent to us today. We pray, our God, that since your word is eternal, living, sharper than any two-edged sword, we pray, our Father, that these words that we have read shall search our hearts, and that having considered them, we shall become exceptional people of God. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Tell me, could you be scripturally described as an exceptional person of God? I said scripturally, not physically, not mentally, not socially, but could you scripturally be described as an exceptional person, God. Let me disqualify you this way. If I ask you about King Saul, physically, what does it say about him? You say he was head and shoulders above all the people. You say he was exceptional. It meant nothing to God. What about Solomon? It said Solomon had more wisdom and understanding and largeness of heart than all the other Israelites and inhabitants of the earth. That meant nothing. And Absalom was beautiful. He was able to ingratiate himself into the hearts of the people. But in that heart was treachery and murder. And so scripturally, there's nothing remarkable about any of them. So no matter how big and strong you are, no matter how wise you are, and no matter how beautiful you are, scripturally, there's nothing exceptional about you. You say, well, if I were to say I was exceptional, would that be boasting? No. If it were something you were telling me that was scriptural, it would simply be a truth that would rejoice my heart. Anytime a man is exceptional scripturally, it's because of his human attainment. When it comes to salvation, you're nothing exceptional. I was saved by grace. How were you saved? Can you tell me anybody who wasn't saved by grace? That's nothing exceptional. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's nothing exceptional. That's universal. But each portion that I read you tonight gives us three exceptional peoples in the sight of God. And listen why. It said, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And so I would like that title bestowed upon me, the Honorable John Mills. That's good. And I can earn that title. And at the same time, I would like to be called Noble, John Mills the Noble, and I can attain that title. And at the same time, John Mills the Excellent, and I can attain that title, and so can you. Every scripture that I've read to you tonight is attainable by every child of God, and nothing of these scriptures has anything to do with the grace of God other than this grace that is with you, but it's all human attainment. These are people of God that are exceptional. Why? It said Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Why? It said because he prayed. Are you a Christian that's known by your prayer life? You speak to some of the children of God and ask them about prayer, and it's a strange thing. And if you've ever tried to pray with them, you know that their life isn't one of prayer. And yet I can remember one brother years ago. He didn't seem like a spiritual brother until you got with him and kneeled down and started praying to God. And then I said, that's a remarkable man, because he knew how to pray. But that was his attainment. In the Gospel of Luke, people were watching the Lord Jesus as he prayed. And when he got through, one came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, yes. And for the second time, he gave what is known as the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven. So, when you are saved, that's grace. That's nothing. Anybody can be saved. But at the same time, after you are saved, even though anybody can pray, not everybody does pray. And I'm thinking this, if I added up all the time that all of us here have spent in prayer this day, what do you think the total would be? Would you be proud of it, or would you be ashamed of it as an assembly? Now, if we happen to be like Daniel, we would pray 3 times a day. Or if we happen to be like the psalmist, we could pray 7 times a day. Or we could always have an attitude of prayer. But once you've trusted Christ as Savior, God expects you to become remarkable. Why? Because it said Jabez was an honorable man, a remarkable man. Why? Because he prayed. I want to find some exceptional, remarkable Christians, but you seldom do. At times, you're with Christians and you say, let's pray. And I've seen others say, no, no, you pray. So it's a strange thing. And others, like that brother I told you about, if you mention prayer, he could fall on his knees and enter into the presence of God and pour out his soul and the petitions that were needed by the people of God, and you would be blessed. So there are some, like Jabez, that are remarkable because they are men of prayer. In Acts chapter 17, here is another remarkable reference, but it's not because of prayer, but it's because of the way they reacted when the Apostle Paul was preaching to them. When Paul was in Thessalonica, there was a riot because they were dishonorable there. But when he came to Berea and went into the synagogue, and these are Jews, it said, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and search the scriptures daily. Examine them daily whether they were so. And that is why when someone you trust and respect preaches, you should especially search the scriptures. For this reason, I say this. If the Bereans are called noble, because when the Apostle Paul preached, they went and checked up on him from the Word of God. What about any lesser persons, such as I and others who come and minister to you? Do you take everything that people say because of their reputation? I know that some, if you are discussing a doctrine, they won't turn to the Word of God. But what happens is this. They say, why, this brother holds this view on it, and he is above reproach. Why, he has more intelligence than anyone else. Then you are not remarkable. That wouldn't be a description of you. You wouldn't be a Berean. You would be one who follows the thoughts and teachings of men. And this is what will destroy you, even the best of men. I've read many authors, and some of them seem without contradiction until I'm reading this man whose soul I've been blessed in my soul, and I come to him and he starts talking about infant baptism. Well, it must be true. Why, this man has a great mind, and look at all that it means nothing. If he mentions infant baptism, then search the scriptures if you can find infant baptism. But what happens is that I've seen it so many times. When you want to discuss a portion with the people of God, what they will do is not know the scriptures. They are not familiar with the Word of God, but they are familiar with what this brother and that brother believes. And they will tell you what they believe. And they say, if it was good enough to him, it's good enough for me. Well, it wasn't good enough to the Bereans when the Apostle Paul was preaching, and I hope it will never be good enough for you. Now, think of this. Jabez was remarkable because he was a man of prayer. But the Bereans were remarkable, nothing about prayer, but because when they heard someone speak, they went to the Word of God and examined it daily whether these things were so. They were remarkable because they did research in the Word of God when a doctrine was preached, and they were uncertain about that doctrine. Now, it says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So here are two brothers, Cain, firstborn, Abel, the secondborn, and both of them are seeking to worship God, but it says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice to God. So here is a man who knows how to worship. And I'm afraid that we, who should excel in worshiping God, because we preach the priesthood of all believers, in the assemblies, I discover that the priesthood of all believers is something we hold, but we seldom practice. And when those do practice it, it seems so out of place, so difficult, it seems so unnatural. And yet, it says, with Abel, he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So notice, both of them are seeking to worship God, to offer God a sacrifice. But God says to Abel, yours is the more excellent sacrifice. Yours is the greater, the larger sacrifice. And it pleased God. So think now. Here are three examples, and no two of them are the same. Jabez, why are you remarkable? Because I'm a man of prayer. Bereans, why are you remarkable? Because we search the scriptures. And Abel, why are you remarkable? Because I know how to worship God. Now think, prayer, searching the scriptures, and worship. Which one of those is it impossible for you to practice? You say, well, I can pray, yes. And can you search the scriptures? Yes. Can you worship? You say, yes. Well, why, when I ask you, is there anything scripturally remarkable about you? Did you not say, yes, I'm a man of prayer? You say, because I do pray on occasion, but God would not look at me. And you realize that in the Bible, God mentions certain people. He said, though Moses and Samuel were before me, he knows those as men of prayer. And Job and Daniel, though these men were before me, their righteousness would not preserve anything but them. And so God knows those who are righteous, and God knows those who are effectual in their prayers. And there's not one thing I've read you about Jabez or the Bereans or Abel that you are not sufficient to do yourself. And yet, I believe if I ask you honestly, would you qualify as a Jabez or as a Berean or as an Abel? You might say, no. Well then, you are not remarkable scripturally at all, and it's your fault. Because all of these things are attainable. If God expected of me to do what a man with 5 talents possessed, I would be unable to do it. I like to tease people this way. I have 2 talents. Why? because if I only had one talent, you wouldn't invite me to preach to you. And if I had five, I wouldn't come and preach to you. I know what I have. But God never has said to me, I want you to attain this goal of the brother with five talents. No. But it says when our Savior was teaching the parables, he taught them as they were able to comprehend it. And God does not expect of you more than the gift that he's given you. But he has given every man a gift. You say, well, I have no gift, but you're wrong. He gave at least one talent to every servant. And so if this is so, ministering as of the strength that God supplies, that God gives you. You say, well, if he's only given me two talents, I can't give the strength of five talents. Of course you can. And it says, ministering as of the strength God gives you. I've seen people who do not have the gift of teaching. Oh, they can give a gospel message, but they get up and try to teach, and it's painful. Why? Because they're trying to minister in a way that God has not equipped them to do. If necessary, you can, on occasion, teach if you have the gift of the gospel, and you can preach the gospel if you have the gift of teaching, because at times, the elders will come and say, would you please preach the gospel to us today? And I say, I'm making no promises because of this. When the Lord Jesus, in the gospel, was teaching, did he work the gospel in? You say, yes. Well, did he preach nothing but the gospel? You say, no. He preached and he worked it in. And so if you go through the Word of God, why not preach the gospel where it's found in the Word of God? But now, if you say, I want the gospel, you can go and get exceptional gospel texts. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so much the Son of Man he lifted up. Yes. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You must be born again. I could turn to those texts and preach the gospel. But at the same time, if it says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, that God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, I'm not going to bring the gospel out of that. And yet, one sister came to me when she was criticizing me, saying, you must preach the gospel. I said, the portion I read didn't have the gospel in it. She said, I can bring the gospel out of any part of the Bible I want to. And I wouldn't argue with the woman. She probably could. But it's a contradiction. Do you not think that the Spirit of God knows where the gospel should be placed and how to bring it out of a certain portion? So you minister as of the strength that God supplies. And you may excel in one of these areas, or you may excel in all of them. Now let me ask you this. Do you think I pray? What do you think I've been doing today so that I could come and give you something worthwhile? A word in season. A handful of purpose. Of course I pray. And at the same time, do you think that I searched the scriptures before I came here today? You say, yes. And Lord willing, if I were with you Sunday morning at the remembrance meeting and the Spirit of God gave me utterance, do you think that I could stand and worship God and offer him a spiritual sacrifice? You say, yes. Then you are looking at a man that is remarkable according to the scripture, not to a great degree like Jabez or the Bereans or Abel, but at least relatively so. And you look at your life and ask, is my life lacking in prayer? Is my life lacking in searching the scriptures? Is my life lacking in worshiping God? And the answer probably would be yes. Who prays enough? Who studies enough, and who worships enough. And yet that's what we boast about in the assemblies. We are a royal priesthood, and we are a holy priesthood, and as a holy priesthood, we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. And that is what we are to do each Lord's Day morning. You come together. And it says in John 4, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now, Jabez has nothing of worship in 1 Chronicles 4. It is just a selfish prayer, and it doesn't mention you or anybody else at all. Listen to Jabez. He says, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that it be not to my sorrow." Now, for whom was Jabez praying? Did he mention you or anybody else? Of course not. And it said, God granted him that which he requested. And so, if you are praying this kind of prayer, by all means, continue to pray it. If you insist, "Oh God, I want to be blessed indeed." Yes, I want God to answer that prayer and enlarge your territory. If it might be this, that you are going this far with the gospel, to go farther. The Apostle Paul wanted his territory enlarged, and at the same time, some may want their physical possessions to be enlarged. Why? That they could glorify God, reach more souls. But he said, "I want my coast enlarged." And he said this. He said, "I want your hand to be with me." Do you know how powerless you are in life without the hand of God? You have no power. I will tell you how much power you have. The same amount Peter did when he tried to walk on the water and he saw the wind and the storm. He started sinking. And the hand of the Son of God reached out and took hold of him. Jabez said, "That your hand might be with me." Peter, at no time more than Jabez, wanted the hand of God to be with him. And that is what happened. When he cried unto God, the Lord Jesus extended his hand. And Jabez, in his day, said, "Lord, I want your hand to be with me." Then it means this. If I'm going through life and God gives me a task, I do not have to do it alone. Some of the things God asks are supernatural. But if his hand is with me, I have supernatural help. And that's what Jabez was praying for, and that is why he was more honorable than his brethren. And so, if you want to be selfish and just pray for yourself, all of these good things that Jabez did, God will congratulate you, and he will not say to you, "This is a selfish thing that you're asking for. I'm not going to answer." Read the book of James. "We have not because we ask not. We ask and receive not because we ask amiss." And so evidently, Jabez did not ask amiss because God granted him everything that he asked for. So, if I could be a remarkable person like Jabez, what would make me remarkable? Nothing that God did for me, but something that God taught me to do. God taught me to pray. The Lord Jesus said, "Pray." And that is what I want to do. I want to learn how to pray so that if this brother that is spiritual and he exudes the thoughts of heaven and holiness and fellowship with God, so that when that man says, "Come and pray with me," I do not feel out of place, but I could kneel down with him and I could put my arm around him, and he could put his arm around me, and together we could go into the presence of God, and I would not feel that there was any sin in his life or sin in mine if we were praying to God. That is the kind of prayer life I would like to have. I want to be like Jabez and pray selfishly for everything he prayed for, because even though you and I would say it was selfish, God said it wasn't selfish. He granted him everything that he wanted. And God listens to you when you pray. When Solomon spoke to God, God said, I like that prayer. You didn't ask for long life. You didn't ask for the death of your enemies. I like that prayer. Isn't that remarkable? Sometimes you may pray to God, and God would say, that's not much of a prayer, but he doesn't tell us that. It would be too embarrassing. But he does tell us when it's a good thing. James says, you pray and you pray amiss. But Jabez, even though it was personal, everything was about Jabez, it said God granted him that which you requested. So start praying for yourself, because I believe that there are many things missing in your life, as in mine. And if those things are missing, you can pray to God. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you are afraid, read those scriptures that said, fear not, I am with thee. So many scriptures telling you, fear not. When Peter said, I am a sinful man, O Lord, the Savior said, fear not. That is what God will do for us. God will control any shortcoming, anything that causes us to enter the presence of God. He will take care of that. Do you remember when Isaiah, woe is me, when he saw God, but the angel came with a fire from off the altar and touched his lips. So be remarkable like Jabez, be a man of prayer. And at the same time, be remarkable like these Bereans by searching the Word of God for every truth that you hear. What is the easiest thing to do, and yet the hardest thing to do, is when someone declares a doctrine or a precept for you to go and find it in the Word of God. It's so simple. When I was first saved, I was taught that the Lord Jesus was the eternal Son of God. But people started bringing scriptures to my mind like this. My Father is greater than I. The Son doesn't know this. And so Jesus had a beginning. You see, he is the beginning of the creation of God. And so I said, I'm going to search every scripture until I find out the truth about the Lord Jesus. And so finally, I remember reading in Hebrews. It spoke about Melchizedek, without father, without mother, without beginning of days or end of life. I said, well, isn't that remarkable? He's without beginning of days. Then he's eternal. And I never had to worry anymore. This Savior of yours is without beginning of days. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I started as a young man searching the Scripture. And so when a Jehovah's Witness or someone who denies the eternal being of the Lord Jesus, I just read these Scriptures to them, and there's nothing they can say. If they reject the Word of God, that's all right. But at least I've given them the Scripture. So let us be like Jabez in praying, and let us be like the Bereans when the Apostle Paul tells us the truth. We go and search it out. I remember being at a conference and something like this happened. A dear brother of repute, you would know him, he said, why, this word occurs so many times in the Bible, and it should strengthen our heart. And I said, now that's something worth remembering. And so, of course, I went home and checked every reference that what he said was in the Bible. And he was entirely wrong one of the things that I wanted to remember, it wasn't worth remembering. He hadn't checked it out himself. That's the sad thing. But Paul did, and Paul said this, if any man thinks that he is spiritual, if any man thinks that he is a prophet, he said, let him take knowledge of this, that what I say to you is the word of God. So that's good. But this man who said that about himself, in Acts chapter 17, he had the Bereans searching the scriptures for what he said. And they found it to be true. And this is something that will put an end to all of those that are pressing Calvinism, predestination. It says they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Many of them, therefore, believed. Isn't that a strange thing? I thought they would believe because they were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. It says this, they searched the scriptures daily. Therefore, many of them believed. And so this is what God promises you. Those who have not that light, God will give light. And the Lord Jesus said this, if any man is willing to do the Father's will, notice, not to know, if any man is willing to do the Father's will, he shall know whether the teaching that I teach is of God or of myself. That's a promise. And I promise you this, if you have been told various ways in which to be saved, if as the Bereans you will search the scriptures daily and examine them, therefore you will believe, because the word of God will save every man who searches it and who accepts it. It saved the Bereans, and it will save you. And at the same time, if God has told you what is worship, and that he wants you to worship, and think of this, the first two humans that were born into the world, and they were worshipers. Think of that. The first two creatures that were born into the world, both of them were worshipers. You have to go to Genesis 4 to read this. At this time, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. But from the very beginning of creation, man had been taught to worship God. And Cain and Abel did worship God. But it said, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. And when he did, God said, that is the reason that I am acknowledging you as righteous. So, if God wanted to be worshipped, in Genesis chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 4, he wants to be worshipped today. But if I ask you this, are you capable of telling me scripturally how to worship God? Could you do it? If you stood up and tried to worship God Lord's Day, I would tell you whether you would worship God acceptably. And I've said this so many times. Why? Because I have the book on the worship of God. You may find it in Leviticus. The Lord tells you in the book of Leviticus about the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the trespass offering. He tells you all the offerings. He tells you how to bring them. He tells you how to prepare them. And he tells you what is a sweet smelling odor and what is not sweet savor odor. God has given you a book teaching you how to worship God. And yet Christians go Lord's Day morning and they stand up and they don't know how to worship. Why? Because they haven't read Leviticus 1 through 7. Read it and apply spiritually the physical things that are told there, and you will know how to worship. It says, let us therefore offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. In the Old Testament, the priests offered up physical sacrifices to God. You look at those physical sacrifices and see how to interpret them spiritually, how to offer up the spiritual ones to God. Let me ask you this. See if this is too difficult. Who is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? You say, that's elementary. That's our Lord. Yes. And when they came to worship God, they brought a lamb without spot and without blemish. I wonder whom that typifies. You say, why? That would have to be the Lord Jesus. And that goat that was the sin offering, who was made sin for us? You say, why? Why, the Lord Jesus. And upon whom did the Father make to alight the iniquity of the fall? You say, the Lord Jesus. And so each of these animals in Leviticus typifies some aspect of our Savior, and the Savior who gave himself to save us, having saved us, we give back to God what God first gave to us, because you have nothing sufficient to give to God other than the Lord Jesus. What do you have of yourself that is acceptable to God? Nothing. What do you have that God will not refuse? The Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well then, tell the Father about his Son. Now, I ask you this at first. Is there anything remarkable about you scripturally? And if we are humble, we will say, from what you told me, no. But can there be anything scripturally remarkable about you? You can say, yes, everything that you have told me. So by God's grace, let us know what it is to be men and women of prayer. And let us know about searching the scripture. And let us know about worshiping. And then the next time I come, you can say, you know that question you asked me about being remarkable? Well, now, by God's grace, I am remarkable. Let me preach to those who are remarkable in the sight of God. That's enough. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for your great goodness to us. We are aware, Father, that we are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, nothing we can do. But our God, having been saved, there is everything you expect us to do. With the strength that you supply, but still, you expect us to do it. So forgive us for not being like Jabez and insisting on a blessing from you. Forgive us for not being known by a prayer life. And Father, how often we take for granted what those we trust say. Forgive us, our God, for not being like the Bereans. And our God, that you had shown us about gathering to the name of the Lord, but we come and we know nothing about worshiping as Abel did. Forgive us, our God. And since you, our Father, are seeking worshipers, let worshipers be found in us here in Rockville, Maryland. Bless these scriptures to our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.